Okay, welcome back. We are on class five of Tellington Tea Touch for You, co-creating heaven on earth. And this is an after the class third hour sharing. And we have a number of wonderful comments that have been coming in. Do you want to have us read those first and then?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So Sage just said, heads up, I'm in contact with Marianne Williamson's campaign about my work at the jail with the kiddos and have an intention to teach her the heart hug. I'm at the, that's incredible, Yavapai County Juvenile Detention Center every Wednesday at 11. And yes, you all have permission. It's a rough environment to walk into and I feel blessed and honored. Wow. Amy says, I find comfort in also holding my entire heart, especially the back and side, so it's like supporting and hugging my entire heart in the circle of my hands. That's so beautiful. Otherwise, I was initially heart-hugging only the front. It feels warm, moist, supple, and tender. And sometimes my head neck pain is certain cells screaming for freedom and connection since others are near and it's still sleeping and needs connection. I'm okay sharing this. Phew, big things happening.
This is so beautiful, this concept. Thank you. I thank you for that. It's just like holding this precious, precious heart in our hands and being able to feel that love, to give that heart love and to send that love to our hearts out, send it out through your ancestors, through in all of the ways that we can connect, and let us together hold this prayer, hold this image of people finding that way to connect with deep, deep appreciation with their hearts. And I love this concept. I believe it was from Louise Hay that I learned this, that when you, for those who have not come to that place of being able to say they love themselves, they love their heart, use the word appreciation. And when we connect with the words of Dr. Luc Bodin, in the book of Ho'oponopono, this concept that we love the divine spark within, that I believe gives us, those who have had issues with the body because of pain or experiences because of pain, we can bring another level of love when we connect with that divine spark within and know that's who we are. Sharing.
Linda, I saw that Cindy Ketchba, I'm going to unmute. Oh, did I just lose you, Cindy? I lowered
my video on because I'm trying to conserve my battery on my phone. I had a huge aha moment this morning when I was waking. Last week, I went to the Tea Touch website and was reading all the anecdotal stories, and I got to the animal ambassador story, one of the animal ambassador stories 35 years ago, where Linda was having the kids choose animals that they wanted to work with. And there was one little boy that wanted to do a snail, but he wasn't sure how he was going to do tea touch on it. And he asked Linda if it was okay if he could do a snail. And she said, yes, it's important to work on big animals and small animals, and that he could do the tea touch by reaching out with his mind. So that came to me. I also do healing touch. And we say intention is more important than technique. So then that brought me to the idea of we're doing more when we think about the clock, and we're doing the circle and a quarter, that it, not only are we engaging both sides of the brain, but we're also setting an intention. And that's just makes our connection when we do our physical connection all that much stronger.
Beautiful. Thank you. And this is a concept that you can touch it with your mind. I can remember that that boy was about 6 at the time. That was in Gorky Park.
I was 6.
Club Healthy Family. And I met him some years later. And he had been doing this. And years later, he connected with me when he was a young adult. I mean, it's really amazing how that one journey that I did with 150 people approximately in Gorky Park, the Club Healthy Family, how that affected that young man.
And I also feel that the energy, that intention comes from the heart and then goes through the mind's eye. So it starts with the heart. And so I feel that connects with everything that we were talking about and doing today as well.
Well, that's the important part, because what I would say today is touch it with your heart. Imagine, but it's easier, you know, obviously it's easier to think we touch it with our mind, but one of the things that came to me many years ago is, you know, put your heart in your hands and your hands on your animal, but put it on yourself, or reach out when we're touching our heart. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm also reading Sage's new book. It's called Where Angels Play. And on page 4, it talks about shamanism and the word shaman means he or she who sees with their heart. So that all kind of, you know, synchronicity with all that too.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I'd never heard that, Sage, and I really touched me when I read that in your book. I've always resisted shamanism because I always want to do something that has no mysticism behind it, that a child can do. And yet, following that path where you bring your mind and your heart as an adult to it, it's very beautiful. And by the way, I am loving your book, Sage.
Yeah, it is. I highly recommend it to anybody.
And I got it on... also on Kindle, so I can underline, and it's great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Cindy Ketchbaugh, your name just popped up. Do you have something to say?
That was me, Linda. I was just finishing up.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Where Angels Fly is Sage's book. I love that title. Other comments from the experience that you had. Could you share what life, death, and the magic beyond? Where angels fly.
Where angels play.
Play, I mean. I said funny, I always think of fly. That's funny. Play, thank you. So Shannon, speaking of raccoon touches, I can't read the rest. I'm just reading this. Speaking of raccoon touches, can you talk about using them around the breasts? Oh, holy mackerel, that is a really good idea. And actually, I think it was Joanne Strong, Strong, who asked me about that some months ago, and I didn't respond. It's doing very, like, one contact, one pressure raccoon touches all around the breath is, I think it's a really important thing. It's so interesting. I don't bring this up in the teachings in North America because we have such a strange attitude about breath. And I can do it in Europe. Interesting. So very, very gentle work and deep appreciation for, I mean, not only is it important in terms of our health, but that is our physical health, but I believe our emotional and mental health when we appreciate the fact that we have them, that we are, many of us, most of us here are women, what that means in terms of mothering and mothering ourselves, something we don't talk about. Years ago, I had a lump on my breast and I discovered it like 2 days before I was off to a 6-week tour in Europe, and there was no chance to get it checked. So when I was in Europe, I did get it checked and it did actually show. And so I decided, yeah, there was no place I could trust, no place I could go. So I just started doing really gentle tea touches all around both breasts. And when I had it redone about 2 months later, it wasn't there. So, you know, it may have just been a, who knows, one of those, whatever you call them, non-harmful lumps that we perhaps get. But that's something I think is a really important part of us. The other thing that I want to bring up that I was going to interject as we were doing the touches on ourselves is to talk to the bacteria in the gut and communicate with it and thank all of the important good bacteria, yeah, support that, and the stuff that isn't useful for us, instead of, you know, seeing it as bad or negative energy. Let's do our circle and the quarter when we're communicating with that particular group and ask them to release into the light, because the intelligence of bacteria is just astounding, absolutely astounding. I think it's a really important to our state of consciousness to recognize that and connect with it. And I'd love to know any other comments that you're feeling, anything you would like to share about what you found in your bodies.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, it's me again.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm really talky today. So I was doing some tea touch on myself, and then I did a distance for a friend of mine who recently had hip surgery. She was doing really well right after she got discharged from the hospital 24 hours later. She was doing great for a week. And then all of a sudden she had a setback. So I've been sending her tea touch. I have showed her on Skype how to do hard hugs, so she's been doing that. So I worked on myself first for probably about a half an hour, and then I worked on her. And I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I started seeing black stringy threads that was wrapped around her hips and going down the side of her leg and wrapping around her ankles. And then as I did my best to try not to judge it, but I admit that I was judging it. So I cleared myself, I did hard hugs on myself. And then I went back to her ankle and it went down into the earth and it changed from a black, sticky, thready gunk to a more rich, red, luscious, moist, like nourishing soil. And then I finished. So I texted her about a half an hour later, and she said that, she wrote me back about an hour later, and she told me that she fell into a really deep sleep and had a dream that she was running through the mountains and that her hip didn't hurt. And she was actually following her husband as he hiked. He hikes in the Grand Canyon and in Colorado and Mount Zion and all these places that she has not been able to go. So she saw herself hiking with him. That's my story.
That was very beautiful. And I was talking about transmuting that bacteria, transmuting it into light, taking it into the earth is a really other possibility of getting that grounding and connecting. Beautiful. Amy from Maryland.
Hold on, I'm looking for you. You know what, Amy, if you can raise your hand. Oh, okay. I unmuted you, Amy.
Hi, I just was wondering if that qualifies as the quantum space when you talked about sending it into the light.
Good point. I mean, all of this, anything here we think is empty space, it's the quantum field. And all thought is in that field. All thought that's ever been thought ever on the planet is there, which is really interesting. So when we transmute something to light, what I was getting when, I can't remember now what we were talking about, but I find it's really important when I'm working with someone else to ask permission. And with a bacteria, for instance, there must be something positive about it. So if we can transmute it out of our own bodies, for instance, the fact that it's there not being useful, not supporting our potential for thriving, then we shift it out of us. And that's what I do. And you do put it out just into the light. Somebody had, something about chiropractic work energetically. I want to share something with you that is a total absolute. I've had lots and lots of body work over the years. I mean, the incredible amount of amazing Feldenkrais work that I had. And just so much great work over the years. But nobody has ever, in all the acupuncture I've had, never talked about the importance of clearing the meridians. And as we were talking, I had this experience last week. I had two sessions from a woman who, because I'm having bladder infection, and I've had it over a year. I'm working with a really wonderful integrative doctor who's also a homeopathic doctor. And I was doing all this stuff and it kept coming back. This person named Cindy looked at my body energetically and saw that my bladder meridian was blocked. And the thing that's so interesting, and maybe it will give some of you an idea, like, I've had this thing in my neck that for, I don't know, a number of years ago, 20 years ago, when I first moved here to Hawaii, I was having a real pain in my neck. And I went to a doctor and I wanted to get an x-ray because I figured I'd like to know what's going on, because if I know what's going on, I have much better chance of, you know, working with it. I didn't want treatment. I just wanted to know what was going on. So I go to him and I go in and ask for an x-ray and he said, well, how old are you? And I said, 60. And he said, well, if you're 60, don't waste your money on the x-ray because everybody at 60 is going to have pain. So a couple of months ago, I was back in at the office in Santa Fe, and a friend came in and was doing the thing with my neck, and she asked me what's wrong, and she said, here. And she pulled out a pill, a bottle of little globules, and gave me one. I took one, and I had no more pain in that neck for years. Well, a few years ago, it started up, but it wasn't a pain. It was just a feeling that it was going to go into spasm, but I could, you know, just adjust myself and stop it. But I hadn't done anything about it. I just like stop it when it works. Okay, so then this person, Cindy, works on this, and that's right on the bladder meridian. Then I said to her, how interesting, because my toe next to my little toe for the last few months is going when I get into bed. It curls. And then I just work on it, uncurl it, and don't think anymore. It's on the bladder meridian. And so what she was doing, which we could also do with acupuncture, I'm certain, which I'm going to planning to do, that is being blocked. She said it was like clogged. And we need to be thinking also, not just like we have been of the organs and all this stuff, but also of these amazing meridians. And I think I would like to bring it in, because for years I've been just, I just found, you know, start imagining these four meridians that I discovered years ago when I bought a book on the thing. And I just imagine that, but I haven't imagined unblocking them. We can do it with acupuncture, which I'm planning to do, but we can also just see that and work on it. And Eleanor, I would like you to get one of those charts and just let's look at these and just start bringing this into our field of understanding and, you know, the knowledge and the knowing. Quite exciting.
So, Linda, as you brought that up, last night we were at friends' homes, a home, and they have two very large Burmese mountain dogs. One of them, a couple of days ago, she started to present with unusual neurological symptoms, and her eyes went bloodshot. Her eyes were rolling back. She went to the vet. They couldn't find anything. And as soon as we walk in, my friend says, oh, thank God, right? The animal whisperer. And I'm like, nope, right? But as soon as I put my hands down along, so her spine, right? Here's her spine. Put my hand down. On the left side, I could feel the meridians flow right around the lower part of the right ribs, but above her, no flow. So I asked myself, what the heck is that? Right? So I move my hands away, I come back, and I go, yeah, I got the same thing. And it was like, so then we went on their boat, we went to play with dolphins, we came back, the dog was still having the symptoms because she's not getting to get to an ophthalmologist until tomorrow. But the dog was having trouble walking, moving, she looked stressed. So I went to it and I said, T-touch. And I told the woman, I go, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand along, right along here, and barely touch. We're barely going to touch. And I showed it to her on the arm, circle and a quarter. And I said, I want you to just listen with your hand with circle and a quarter, but let's even say we don't need to. She goes, wait a minute. I feel nothing on this side. I feel flow on this side. I go, that's the meridians. So I showed her to do the abalone, very, very light. And immediately the dog turns, looks at us. She felt the flow and the dog walks away. No neurological symptoms. Check that one out. But it was like, it's the meridians. And the meridian was, I go, listen, if we use the word chi, if we use the word energy, if we were use the word flow, it wasn't flowing there. It flowed there. We got flow just by the touch. And remember what you said about T-touch? I don't teach people to, you didn't use the word diagnose. What was it? Meaning that everybody can do this. I just teach them to do it. So her dog will be good until the dog gets to go to the vet tomorrow.
Yep, super. And don't, maybe it was don't judge, I don't know. Yes.
And I think there was somebody, I thought I saw somebody. Oh, Amy, let me go back to you. You wanted, where are you? Unless you can, hold on, I will find you. Amy.
Hi, I have a question. I have done the circle and a quarter of my heart, the heart hugs. And I had experimented with holding the thing in the depth because it makes more sense to me.
Doing what? Sorry?
In holding my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I was going around the back of it and the sides of it, and it was really very three-dimensional. Yeah. And today, I did it again, and my hands are left with the imprint of the curve. And I feel like I'm holding it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. And what do I do with this? My hands are feeding back to me this touch. And what do I do with it?
What do you mean? What will you do with it?
Now, right now, I feel it in my hands.
So what would you like to do with it?
Work on Hava. Work on my head. I don't know, but what do I do with it after that? It's like it's really come to life.
So get the book, The Nature of Personal Reality by Jane Roberts, and get that we do create our own reality. What I ask you, what would you like to do with it? And know that that potential, it's the divine consciousness in us. When you listen to that, you will know what to do with it. Maybe it's another way for you of being. I don't know. How much do you know about T-Touch? How much have you done it?
Ever since I started with you guys.
Yeah, but when was it?
A year, maybe?
Oh, just in this class? In this class?
Yeah, and I work with Sandy in the animal Live Your Best Life, which has really opened my life big time.
So
I use it on everybody, everything I can. Yeah. Trees, well, everything.
Good.
It's like my hand has expanded. I don't want to say phantom because that to me implies something that wasn't there that was cut off like in.
Oh, but it was cut off, wasn't it? Cut off from your knowing. That's this thing of knowing and knowledge.
Okay.
And Sandra has her hand up, but I want to speak to that just a moment, Sandra. What came to me was really interesting. This, it is like it's cut off from us because we've all been, until we recognize that divinity, that divine consciousness, that universal consciousness, that cellular wisdom that is within us, we are cut off. I don't know if you remember when I read from the back of the Joan King book, the Hindu. My brain is now feeling this. The Hindu legend that the divine spark, the divine consciousness, is within us, hidden. And this is what we're doing as we start to activate it. So learn to trust and think what, I'm not learn to trust, what a silly concept. Practice that trusting. What Eleanor reminded us, when we gently move the tissue, gently is the key word here, gently move the tissue, we activate the oxytocin that Bruce Lipton has dubbed as the trust hormone. And we can start to trust that other voice because, boy, when we've all, in order to be able to even be on here, we have to be very left brain educated. And this concept that we can intuitively, when I say ask yourself, ask your intuition, what to do with this. And I'd like to give you the definition. There are many definitions of intuition in Heart, in this book, Heart Intelligence. Roland McCready writes about the accepted scientific, you know, definition of intuition. The one I love is from Judy G's book on entitled Intuition, that the intuition is the manifestation of a divine consciousness within you, receiving and understanding its messages will change your life and help you find your true path. And also, there's a sentence in between, I leave it out because it's about, it activates your mental, emotional, and physical balance. And that's what T-Touch can do. So when you just start not moving the tissue gently, and you do it enough on everything that moves, and your imagination on the trees, whatever, that we're activating that right brain, knowing that I love the description of that knowing in Sage's book. I love the way you bring this in, Sage, in your book, Where Angels Play. And I also love it in the book, Entering the Secret World of Nature by Michael Rhodes. That's what really turned me on to a deeper understanding of left and right brain activation that we do with every T-Touch. And Sandra, I'm sorry, I couldn't stop, but did you have your hand up before with something to say to Amy? Is she where
I think I unmuted myself.
Oh, okay, super.
Well, I think what she's feeling is energy. And so...
A 3D presence. I mean, I have the ports. I'm very sensitive energy-wise with my hands. I am, but I've never... My hands are this thick right now. I can do the energy. I can, you know, go. I can do distance, but I've never had... My hands are like... It's like wearing a baseball mitt, but it's not a thing. It's me. They're very... They grew today. Thank you.
Did you say they grew? Is that...
Yeah.
They grew today. So what I'd like to point out that we have within this gift of the T-Touch is think about your hands and all the different parts. It's approximately 21 different parts of the hand to which we have given animal names. That means we're bringing the energy of the animals, the consciousness, the connection to the animals in each part of our hand that we talk about. Raccoon, da, 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 all the different names. And so it's really worthwhile thinking when we think our hands grew, is it possible that you bring a new level of consciousness to this, no? To the hands? And when we talk about energy, this energy to me is coming back to every thought we have, every word we speak, every feeling, every emotion, and every belief. And that's both in Bruce Lipton's book and the biology of belief that you pointed out, Sage, because I had forgotten that, because I have quoted it over and over from Greg Braden's The Spontaneous Healing of Belief. And so I believe what's happening is in you feeling your heart, just taking your heart in your hands. Mm-hmm. I just loved it when I did what I heard you doing. Just those of for you on the phone that you can't see this, just hold your hands, like cup them toward each other and imagine this beautiful heart and the cells that Eleanor was talking about. You know, as we develop this heart cells that become a part of our brain cells. And when we recognize this from this beautiful work of Heart Math Institute, how that heart intelligence is a greater field, greater than the potential for our brain intelligence. This is what we're all doing here together, exploring each in our own way. And thank you, Sandy, you just put up the spontaneous healing of belief. I'm just looking at all of these names of all of you I know and all of you I don't yet know as well. And it's my heart is very full. Sally Allison, it's so great to see you. Another one, more than 30 years. Amazing.
Amazing. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. On acupuncture and meridians and touch, years ago when I was taking BioScan, had classes with Dr. Marvin Kane, a veterinary acupuncturist. And he told the story about when he was teaching a class at vet school, and the horse had a very depressed ting point. And he had the students come up and feel it because it was easy to find. And by the time the students had all felt this point, it had become normal. And the problem associated with that in his movement was gone.
Fantastic.
And he didn't know anything about touch at all. Light therapy can also affect acupuncture points.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. These various ways of bringing consciousness to something with and when we're experiencing pain in the body or parts that don't work, I'm wondering how it was for you, because in the past we've been, I've been having you take yourself out and create this beautiful image of yourself sitting there. But this time, when I asked you to go outside yourself from your spirit self and see your body and then bring appreciation, what influenced me to do that was a little book by Jane Roberts called The Education of Oversoul 7. And I highly recommend that book. It's a novel, one of her novels, but Oversoul 7 sits somewhere in the universe, and she looks at him herself in the Stone Age, in the Middle Ages, in the present, as an 80-year-old woman my age, and in the future. And that's what I was thinking of Oversoul 7, of my oversoul, my spirit self, looking at my body and being able to love it and hold the appreciation of the fact that we have this vehicle, and praying for forgiveness for whatever is creating this pain, and praying and holding the potential, daring to hold the potential of how we would like those cells to spin, how we would like those meridians to be clear, how we would like the light in the cells to shine or to be an ideal light where the parts are not serving us as they can. And that I've never done that before. It was very profound, and it was thanks to the influence of that book, The Education of Oversoul 7, Jane Roberts. So, Reverend Donna, can you speak, please?
There we go.
On your Facebook. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for unmuting me, Eleanor.
It takes a while to scroll. Sorry.
I forgot to unmute. I just was so happy to respond to Linda. I said happy birthday to you. And I didn't get a chance to do your Facebook timeline, but I will. But what happened for me when I saw your Facebook page and all the people from around the world who sent you so much love, was, I thought to myself, what a remarkable, I always think, what a remarkable woman. But you have created such a spectacular, amazing life. The real wealth that anyone can have is by the people who love you and support you, and you are so rich, so rich. So I wanted to first say that. I love Tea Touch, but I love especially the fact that you move Tea Touch into the realm of quantum consciousness. And, I think it's such a poetic and an easy way for people to have access to that field. But there are a lot of other people who are, I said in my post that I just wrote that I listen to Abraham almost every day. I love Esther Hicks and Abraham, and I always am reminded that I'm creating my own reality, that what I think I will get more of. I just had a call with a client who's in such deep, dire depression, and she's been that way for a long time, and she's from a Middle Eastern country, so it's really hard, but she just ordered Abraham Hicks's book, and I was, as you were talking today, I'm going to teach her a heart hug, because we're going to connect with her again. But her thoughts just are about pain and suffering, and pain and suffering, and pain and suffering. And guess what? She's attracting more and more and more of pain and suffering. Until you can stop the loop of thought and go into a different place, then it's beautiful how your heart hug, and as Eleanor was saying, reduces blood pressure and calms down, because most people don't know how to get out of the loop of their thoughts. Which brings me to my next thing that I wrote. I've been really, really excited about, I'm a latecomer to the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's extraordinary. I find him really leading edge. The problem is, though, in order to get the results from his work, you have to, do this meditation. I don't know what it is, and I think I'm being guided there. But he talks about remarkable things happening. People who couldn't hear can now hear. People who were blind can see. People who had multiple sclerosis are walking. People come in wheelchairs. And so, but part of it is also about going back to the wave instead of, and releasing the particle that you've become. And in order to go back to that wave, you have to have this mystical experience which connects you to the divine. And so that's what I want to share. And you do this all the time, Linda. You can, and I want to tell you something else. I recently, it was my anniversary, my wedding anniversary, and we went to a place in San Diego called Balboa Park. And in Balboa Park, I was like so blown away. It's just an amazing place. But there is a fig tree. There is a fig tree. Have you ever visited it? It is like, it has its own enormous, like block long space. I don't know when it was planted, but I stood by it. I took pictures of it. I'll post some pictures of it on Facebook. It just was amazing and I felt its wisdom. I felt its, magnificence, and the size of it was astounding. And also when I was in Ben Lomond, California, that we were in, where the trees in California and what happened and how amazing they are. Anyway, those came in my vision. But that's what I wanted to share, that we are creating our reality. And sometimes for so many of us, myself very much included, it's so easy to go to the negative. It's so easy to give in to your pain, to not feel well, and then you have to remind yourself, well, if I'm going to be in that place, I'm just going to be attracting more of that. And so thank you for giving people around the world a way to break the loop of those negative thoughts. And that's what I want to share.
Thank you so much. And one of the simple ways is the practice of taking that half empty glass, in this case it's really, and seeing that as 7/8 full. And that, when you said, humans have a tendency to go to the negative, that is the ego side, when we believe we're alone without connecting to the divine consciousness that is hidden within. And as soon as we do, that is heaven on earth. And we need to support each other. We need to practice because this pain that we feel, Reverend Donna, this pain that we feel is in every cell in our body. We all have all of the pain and suffering and hatred and all of the negative responses in every cell in the body. I have seen it so clearly in regression. And when we realize that, when we see that, we know it's not just our pain. It's the pain of all people for all times in the past and the present and the future. And when we get that and we see in through the pain that divine consciousness in every cell, wow, we have this opportunity to consciously saying, I can release some of this. I can see, I can hold the infinite possibility, the infinite possibility of a change. And when I get that shift in me and I can begin to see this, wait a minute, this is a gift that I have given myself in some way to, and it's big, big work. My God. Yes, my God. It's big, big work to say, okay, what's the help that I need? How can I get support in releasing this, knowing it's not just my pain? And on the harmonic convergence in whatever year that was, I forget.
2012.
Yeah, it was a different convergence. It was I was in Russia. It was 1987 approximately. There was a big shift that year. I was with Chris Griscom and she did a session with me that day. And I saw in my body, it's the second time I've worked with her and I've seen this, and I saw like the pain of, because we were in Russia, of all from the steps and all the pain and suffering that I felt in every cell in my body. And it was a huge gift because it gave the opportunity for me in this body that doesn't have that to start releasing it. And then the other regression that I had that I may share with you, I need to do another extra sharing with it because it was remarkable seeing in every cell in our body what it said, every negative thought. And that's just who it is when we're human. That's our makeup. And it's our opportunity to look at the positive and think of, when after I'd done that regression with Chris, I said, okay, well, so, because we can't release it all, we would be gone. I mean, this is our work on the planet, right? Come on. And so as we release all of these negative emotions, each one at a time, and I had a great time getting over jealousy. That's a whole other story I must tell sometime. What's left? I went for a walk with Chris and I said, okay, what's left? Well, it's pretty obvious. Jerry Jampolsky wrote about it.
Fear.
Love is letting go of fear. So what do you get? As you release that, you get the love. And maybe there's another way of looking at it as I say this and we all gather here together. When we bring the love in, that can help to dissipate the pain and the fear. And when we can find a way of giving thanks that we're conscious that we can affect that, thanks to the wave, thanks to that shift. And in that little book, Uncommon Prayer, which by the way, a couple of days ago, you could buy for $350 or something on Amazon used. Or if you bought a new one, it was like over 200. in the little book, I think it's on page 20, what Ruth Miller writes, it has been a huge thing for me, huge, huge, is Deepak Chopra calls this quantum field, the field of infinite possibilities, and says that when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, which is to me like the stillness in the pause between touches, when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, that we also can help to shape the forms that emerge out of this field, which means our own bodies, everything around us. And that is the gift that we've been given from the knowing of the knowledge of quantum science. It's life-changing.
So I was listening to something Bruce Lipton said, and he was talking about if everything is so wonderful on the other side, you know, you were just talking, when you release everything, what is it? Then you're, you know, you're just a free spirit. He said, but would you miss out on the hugs and, you know, the chocolate and everything you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch? And sometimes I really have to come back to that. And the beauty, right now, you know, when I was talking before, my dog Harry sensed something deep and emotional, and he's right here by my side now. He's not leaving my side. And, you know, would I ever miss out on Harry? Or would you miss out on rain? Or, you know, just, we wouldn't. We'd come here and we'd experience this other stuff, but thank God we are now having a pathway that's going to help us attract more and better good things to us.
Yes.
And healing and wholeness.
And it's so important. And I would love it if Sandy sent me something about a month ago, and I'm trying to find it. It was from Abraham. And it's so perfect for what we're talking about. And I can't find it. We need to post it because I've got to get on that daily Abraham Esther Hicks talk. They're so brilliant. And
so brilliant. It's infinite wisdom.
Yeah. And the same is with the Seth, with, you know, this.
Yes. And Esther said that she began channeling Abraham very shortly after she read the Seth book.
Yeah. Figures. Interesting. Thank you all. We're coming up to the hour. What I would like to do is, Sandy and Eleanor, I want to do another session with Sandy. We're going to put up as a bonus, leading us through this meditation that she found. It's so beautiful. So we'll do it and announce it and put it up for you all. Eleanor, Sandy, any of you, any last feelings or thoughts? Let's just do this.
I have one more thing to say, and that is I struggle with aging and the aging process. And so I want to thank you, Linda, for helping me. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm not happy with the aging process, but it is what it is, and the alternative is not very good. But when I see women like you, so radiant and beautiful, and, you know, embracing your 81, are you now 82 years old?
I am, I'm so excited.
Yeah, and being who you are, it just, I wanted to say thank you for that, because this is really important for me, and maybe one of the main reasons that Spirit sent me here for these classes, because you remind me that, you know, it's not ending for me. Maybe it's a new beginning.
Thank you for that, because Sandy and Eleanor are looking at what is our next step, what is our next sharing beyond this heaven on earth creating. And I believe it's that whole thing of celebrating each year. And I have so much to say about that. And we have so much to share. It's huge. And it's a huge part of the next steps of creating this and realizing this heaven on earth. So thank you for bringing that up. We all have so much to say about this. Elizabeth Eckert, thank you. Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in our Facebook group and in our next And last class, sixth class on in August.
And
11, thank you.
That's August 11. And remember, it's like aloha. Aloha is hello and goodbye. So it's the closing of this next, these 6 months, and it will be the entrance and the opening into the potential for the next level.
I love it. Thank you, Linda. Wow. And thank you, Sandy. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Eleanor, Linda, everyone. I'm going to end this recording.
Love you all.